The first reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The second reading comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
Well, it's so wonderful seeing so many of us here tonight. Why don't I pray? And then we're going to look at this very famous Christmas story. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Christmas story, so familiar to us, and yet is it true? Well, Father, we pray that you'll give us the answer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, we all know the Christmas story, don't we? Or if we don't know it, well, you just had it read out to you then, so at least you know it now. 2,000 years ago in a faraway land, Israel, a young woman, Mary, gives birth to a son, Jesus, who will save the world. Of course, it's a story that gets told every year around the world. And it's been a source of hope and comfort for literally billions of people for centuries. But here's the question, is it true? I mean, it's one thing to think that Christmas is a nice story, and it's, of course, it's great to have an excuse to eat too much, but is it true? Did these things really happen, or were they just made up? Is Christmas believable, or would you have to be mad to believe it? Is Christmas crackers? Well, it is fair to say that this story has some fairly unusual elements to it. I mean, it is the story of a baby being born in very strange circumstances. Let me just point out three things to you that are weird from the story we've just had read to us. Weird thing number one, this birth was foretold by an angel. Look there, chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. It's coming up on the screen. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Now, it's fair to say that most women don't find out they're pregnant this way. Most women find out they're pregnant via a pregnancy test. But Luke says that Mary found out via an angel called Gabriel. I'm sure you would be very surprised if you found out about your pregnancy if an angel turned up like that, if some winged messenger of light just appeared in your bathroom. It's just not how things happen. But that's how Luke says things happened in this case, and that's weird. That's the first weird thing about this story. This birth is foretold by an angel. But here is weird thing number two. Mary was a virgin when she fell pregnant. Now again, this is not normally how things happen. Now, of course, Mary was aware of this, so she asks her angelic pregnancy test how this is going to happen. And the angelic pregnancy test explains to her, the Holy Spirit will overshadow her, not have sex with her, overshadow her, and she will conceive in that way. Now, at least that's not creepy, but it is still full-on weird. I mean, a virgin birth conceived by God. I mean, how can people in 2022 believe that? Isn't Christmas crackers? Well, the last strange thing about this story is that because the baby is conceived by God, he will be the Son of God, divine. Chapter 1, verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Not only that, this divine child will live forever. He will be a king who will rule over a kingdom that will never end. Look at chapter 1, verse 32. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So it's a great story, but it is strange, right? You know, it's a virgin birth, foretold by an angel, of a divine child who will live and rule the world forever. How can that be true? I mean, Christmas may be a good story, but how can that be true? Is Christmas crackers? Well, you may think so. I don't know where you sit on that one. You know, one of the great things about Christmas is that we have lots of people come and join us at church with lots of different beliefs, and everyone is welcome. But before we pray and sing our last two carols, let me give you just three reasons to think why the Christmas story may not be as mad as it sounds and may even actually be true. Here's the first reason, I think. The first reason is that just because something is weird doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, it may be, but it may also just be very unusual. It's not how things normally happen, but it's just how it happened this time. So take, for example, some amazing coincidences from history that even though they sound extremely unlikely, there is no doubt they actually happened. So, for example, in a place called Greenbury Hill, London, in 1641, three men were hanged for the murder of the local magistrate. Now, that's not that unusual, but by pure coincidence, their surnames were Green, Berry, and Hill. Very strange, totally true. Here's another one. In 1664, 1785, and 1860, three separate passenger ferries sank while crossing the Menai Strait off North Wales. Amazingly, each disaster happened on the same date, the 5th of December. And to make it even more bizarre, on all three occasions, there was only one survivor, and in every single case, his name was Hugh Williams. If you want to keep your kids safe, call them Hugh. Now, both events are very odd and unlikely, but there's excellent historical evidence that they both still happen. The point is that just because something's unusual doesn't mean it didn't happen. You just have to check the evidence. It's the same with Christmas. The second reason to think that Christmas may not be crackers is that if these events, even though they're strange, didn't happen, it is really surprising that Luke surrounds them with so many other normal events that can be really easily checked. So normally in religious myths, when you have weird stories like this, the whole story is really vague and has a real myth-like quality. It's really short on checkable details. But this story, though it's really weird, is actually full of checkable details. It's set in an identifiable place, Nazareth in Galilee, up in the north of Israel. It's the kind of place that the original readers could have known and could have gone to visit to check the details out afterwards. It's full of identifiable people, Mary and Joseph, who Luke will give their family background in just one more chapter, so you could look them up and check on them. It's set against a very identifiable historical backdrop. It's set in the reign of a Roman Caesar, Augustus, who we know all about, and even one of his very minor underlings, a guy called Quirinius, who we also know about. You know, it's a bit like telling a story about a dragon, but rather than setting it in a land far, far away, setting it in Hindley Street on a particular date and naming all the witnesses, it just seems to be inviting itself to be checked, and it's the same with Christmas. Why? Well, maybe because it happened, and so it's happy for itself to be checked. Thirdly and finally, the reason that I reckon we've got to think that this story may actually have happened is because what happened after Easter. The Christmas story is about a baby who it said will live forever. Did that happen? Well, of course, you'd have to come to one of our Easter services to find that out, and this is not a well-in-advance plug. But suffice to say, I think there's lots of evidence that Easter did happen. Jesus did rise from the dead. And that's the kind of thing you can check out. The point is, lots of us will eat pudding this Christmas. And you know, there's an old phrase, isn't there? The proof of the pudding is in the eating. That is, the only way you can know if something is good is by testing it. Well, friends, I reckon it's exactly the same with Christmas. Christmas is a good story, but the only way you can know if it's true, if it's really good, is if you test it. So why not test it? Why not come back to church and start finding out more? We're going to be here tomorrow morning. Why not read one of the Gospels of John that you found in your show bag? Why not ask a friend? Because if it didn't really happen, if Christmas really is crackers, then to be honest, you've lost nothing by checking it out. You can still take a break at Christmas and you can still eat too much. All good. But if Christmas did happen, if Jesus really is the Son of God who will live forever and has come to save us from our sins, then that is worth knowing. Because he might just be the person you've been looking for your whole life. And wouldn't that be worth finding out? Well, why don't we pray now, and then we're going to sing our last two carols. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that although this story is very strange, amazingly, there are so many reasons to think it's also true. Father, we pray that if we don't yet know this great truth, we would find it. And we'd find great joy because of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.